All right, tonight we're going to keep working on the book of Nehemiah. You enjoy this book? It's definitely one of the more, at least for me, a very practical book. You know, definitely up there with the book of James and Proverbs. Hard to get out of these books. It's one of the books hard to get out of and not saying, wow, I can do that, or that applies to me. I'm a hands-on learner. That's how I learn. I take some apart and try to figure out how it works. And so Nehemiah is a good book. You can, take this apart and see how it works. Let's start with Nehemiah chapter 1 and read verses 8 and 9. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Remember the word which you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I'll scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though those of you who have been scattered were in the most remotest part of heaven, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place where I've chosen to cause my name to dwell. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Almighty Father God, great God, we are so thankful, Lord, for this chance to come together tonight, to assemble, Father, to get together, encourage one another, and hear the Scriptures, Father God, to partake of the table, to have dinner with our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, Father, and this time of edification and encouraging for us. We're thankful we have the freedom in this country to do so. Pray we really make the most of the days that's brought out this morning. They are evil. It's a train wreck out there. Father, so help us to just be diligent to apply the Scriptures to our lives, to do them, Father God, the words that are spoken in there, and to just be a light shining for Jesus, because there are those out there who want to hear this message, so may we get it to them. We thank you for this evening. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as I say, tonight we're going to keep looking at the book of Nehemiah. To kind of give you a quick recap, we've been, this is my 15th message on Nehemiah, and we're about half the way through. The tail end goes much faster because it's a lot of just about people and lineages and stuff. So, but to recap where we're at, Nehemiah, he's the central figure in this book, and he's returned to Jerusalem with some people with him to rebuild the walls of the city. You know, when Nehemiah originally gets this idea, he's a cupbearer to the king, and he prays and plans for the work to get done. He had with him, with him, with the people that went back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls. They experienced adversity and trials from those who don't want to see the work get done. You know, there were those that had came into the region, and they didn't want to see the Israel get restored. They didn't want to see the nation of Israel come back. At one time, Israel had become a great nation. It had long since fallen from that. So, but Nehemiah and the people, they don't let that stop them. They persevere because they have a vision of the work. They're working off a promise. They're working off the promise that we read, that we opened. They had fallen away, but God had promised that they would return to Him and keep His commandments to do them, that He would gather them together to the place where He has chosen His name to dwell. They had a promise from God. They are working off of that promise. They're rebuilding and restoring God's nation based on a promise from God. And today the church is really in a similar situation. You look out there and there's lots of people that are really a train wreck. The world, even Christianity, use that very loosely, is a mess. 60% of spouses cheat on their other spouse. I guess that's how you say that. Anyhow, and you know what, Gary, that's probably the same. A lot of those are probably Christians. Divorce rate in Christians and non-Christians isn't any different, really. The solution, is either just cheat on your spouse, or they say, hey, divorce rates are going down because people aren't getting married. They're just shacking up. So, we're not solving the problem. Okay? The world is not solving the problem. So, the world is in a mess. But we have been given a vision, really, to restore people back to the hearts of God. Do we have that vision? If you don't believe in that vision, if you don't see that vision, you'll probably fail. If you don't know where you're going, are you ever going to get there? No, it doesn't work that way. You got to know where you're going. A perception is everything. The work is hard. I would say that building up people is harder than building with bricks. Bricks don't move once you set them somewhere. So, people working with people is tough. It's the hardest work you really can do, but it's really the only thing that will last. Souls are eternal. Buildings aren't. Cars aren't. Bricks aren't. Nothing else is eternal. People are eternal. So it's hard work, but it's worthy work. Because it's eternal work. You're in it for the long run. We've been commanded by God to build His temple in heaven, brick by brick and soul by soul. So let's pick up in Nehemiah. We're in chapter 6. I want to read verses 15 and 16. This is exciting. It says, verse 15, "So the wall was completed on the 25th of the month, Elul, in 52 days. It came about when all our enemies heard of it, and all the nations surrounding us saw it, they lost their confidence, for they recognized that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God." 52 days, exciting. The built wall is done. The wall has been built. In one sense, you might say, well, 52 days, that's almost less than 2 months. That's not too long. Well, it's easy. It's not too long if you weren't building the wall. If you weren't hauling bricks every day. It was a lot of work. Those working on the wall, it probably felt much longer. You know, when you start work on that wall, it was one brick and a lot of bricks to go. There was a lot of work to do. To get the wall built took a lot of hard work from a lot of dedicated people. People committed to that work. What did it take to get the wall rebuilt? It took a lot of faith and it took commitment. Commitment to the work. It's very easy to start stuff and then quit. You see that quite a bit. When I was in Ghana, I think that's one of the things that really was the most interesting. Even as you fly over and you're landing, you see all these concrete structures that are built up, and they stop. Built up and stop. I mean, one of them we stayed when I was there with Karen. It was a stadium. It's like Olympic sized stadium, and they basically built it and stopped. You know, they still had the hotel where you could stay, but literally that big track and all this stuff is all built up in concrete. It's because, you know, they get tired, they run those out of funding, you know. It's easy to start work, it's hard to finish work. Okay? Finishing work is what really matters. The walls of Jerusalem had been laying in ruins for right around 100 years. I'm sure that many of the Jews had seen these ruins and longed to see the nation of Jerusalem be restored, to see the city put back together. Why did it take 100 years for these walls to get rebuilt? Really, because it's easy to sit around and wish things were different. It's easy to sit around and complain that things aren't the way you think they should be. See, it's easy to say, well, someday I'm going to do this or that. Or it's easy to say lots of stuff. What it's hard to do is to do stuff. You know, words come easy, but words don't really accomplish anything. It's easy to sit around and complain that something isn't done. You know, like I say, what's hard is to stop talking about things and to start doing things. Jump to 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 11. It's a great verse, one that I've heard spoken about many times, and now it's committed to memory. Because it's one that I would encourage you guys to really take to heart. Here, one of the kings is talking, the king of Israel. He replies, he says, "Tell him, let not him who girds on his armor boast like him who takes it off." Basically, he's saying, hey, you don't get the right to talk about being in the battle until you've been in the battle. Okay? You can't boast about the battle, about how it is to fight until you've been out there and you fight, until you've earned your stripes, been out there. It's easy to point out what needs to be done. It's easy to point out what people should be doing. It's easy to complain about things that aren't done. But you don't have the right to do that if you're not doing anything. Okay. The real test about how much we care about what's not done, or about how much we really care about what should be done, is when we start doing it. What is faith? Faith is not found in words alone. Faith is found in deeds. That actually came out a couple times this morning, which I was like, man, they're kind of running over what I was going to say. But I think it's good to hear it again, because we see a world full of empty talk. There's a football game going on right now. It's Cowboys, I'm sure. Like W knows about that. You know, I just caught a few minutes of it. But, you know, I guarantee tomorrow there's going to be all sorts of people sitting around, well, the Cowboys should have done this, or the Saints should have done this, or that. You know, it's very easy to say what should have been done if you aren't out there on the field. It's very, very easy to say, you know, those guys, I try not to do that, you know, because it's easy to judge when you're not out there doing it. You know, it's hard to judge when you're out there doing it. Things are usually harder than they seem. I get myself in trouble at work sometimes, not real trouble, but I underestimate how hard something is. Because then I get in the middle of it like, wow, that's a lot of work. You know, Karen usually doesn't see me for a while. That means I've got myself buried in more than I should be. Why? Because works are harder than words. It's easy to say something, oh, that's easy, we'll get that done. It's harder to do it. Jump to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 20. What use is my brethren if someone say he has faith but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm, be filled, yet you do not give them what's necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead by itself. Someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works. I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? You know, you can say that you have faith all day long. If there are no works, you really have faith. No, it's not really. You can say that, yeah, it'd be really nice to, you know, we could have said all along, oh, it'd be great to have this addition to the building. If we weren't willing to, you know, raise the funds and do the work, yeah, it still would be nice, but we really don't care that much. Sometimes you use the term skin in the game. I have no idea where that came from. But it means basically, are you invested in it? If you really care, you'll be invested in it. You will step up and do the work. Nehemiah cared about those walls being rebuilt so much to the point that he, yes, nobody else is going to do it, I'm going to do it. You know, he cared, he wanted it done. Today, what are we rebuilding? What are we restoring? We're building spiritual warriors. We're restoring the hearts of people back to God. And I've heard people complain, well, that spiritual revelation isn't, doesn't, revolution, not revelation. Spiritual revolution seems to be going kind of slow. Usually, you know who says that? People are doing nothing. It's usually the people who are doing nothing. If you want to see the body grow, if you want to see the gospel get out to Billings, go get it out there. Okay? If you really care, you'll be motivated to work. It's easy to sit back and second guess what Luke or other leaders are doing. It's very hard to get in and do the work. Faith shows, your faith shows, your commitment to the work, how much you really care is when you get in and do the work, when you become a part of the work. It shows when we ask for that Bible study. It shows when we work in the school. It shows when we reach out and invite someone to our home. It shows when we take time to each day to read the Word of God and pray and meditate on His Word. All of those are actions that shows our commitment. A lot of people, man, I like my... I think Luke said it, you know, he talked about his dad, you know, want to have your faith. People want to have, you know, Luke's faith, his dad's faith, my faith, whatever. What people don't want to do is put in the work. If you really want to have faith, if you really want to grow spiritually, you'll put in the work. I will say, you know, both Super Dave and Nikki, and they put in the work. They do. Lots of you put in the work. But there's others that don't. You know, and people don't put in the work. If you don't put in the work, don't be surprised that you're not getting the results. You know, if you want, if Nehemiah wanted to see the walls built, someone had to build the walls. Someone had to get out and do the work. You know, those are the actions of faith. Nehemiah had a vision of the work he wanted to do. He prayed about it, he planned about it, and then he executed on his plan. He did it in faith. You know, he faced adversity. He didn't even know how it was going to turn out. Even that first time where he goes up and asks the king for leave to be able to go and actually do this work. King might have said no. But how would Nehemiah know the answer if he never asked? If he never asked the king to go, do you think the king was going to let him go? No. What's the worst that can happen? Nope. You know, what's the worst that can happen? If you don't ask somebody for a Bible study, are you ever going to get a Bible study? Nope. Well, what's the worst they can say? Nope. But you know what? They might say yes. And that's why we have to be asking. Nehemiah, they faced some adversity, but they kept at it, brick by brick. The church can learn from this. Talk comes easy, actions take faith. I said earlier, people want the spiritual revolution to take off. It's going to take off by the faith of each and every one of us getting in and doing the work. Going out there, encouraging others, getting the looking for studies, talking, being open about our faith. That's what God is we're looking for. We've been guaranteed a victory, but God won't do it for us. God could have, but He didn't just magically put the walls up. What did He require? He required the faith of the individuals to step out and start rebuilding the walls. Later on, we're going to see that it was clearly God who helped them do this. But the key word is help. God helped them do this. It required them, and it required God. It's the same way today. That's what God's looking for today. Who's supposed to get the gospel to the world? God's not going to skyride it in a plane. He's expecting us to do it, us to step up and do the work. One of my favorite verses is 2 Chronicles 69. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that He may strongly support those whose hearts are completely His. And it just gives me a great mental picture. God's looking for those whose hearts are completely His. Okay? But He's got to find that. You know, Jesus Christ said back, when the Son of Man comes back, will He find faith? You know, that's what God is looking for. He's looking for faith. And not a faith that is in words only, but a faith that translates into actions. Okay? It's got to be actions. So the work here, though, does get completed. It gets completed by the faith of Nehemiah and those that are with him, by them actually doing the work and putting it into practice. The surrounding nations, they see that this work was done, and they are they're disheartened. The actual word I thought was different than the version I originally put this together with. It says they lost their confidence. They recognized the work had been accomplished with the help of our God. So the people see this, and they lose their confidence, nations around them. Why? Because the nations around them were pagan. Okay? You know, and this work showed that God was working through these people. They lost their confidence. They saw the power of God working through these people. What a great example for the church, you know. Why does the world, you know, say things like, just cheat on your spouse? Because they want everybody to do that. They want to bring everyone down to their level. They don't think that you can be faithful to your spouse. They don't think that you can be, keep the marriage bed undefiled. They want to drag them down. Okay? So when they see it actually being done, they lose their confidence. They lose confidence in their pagan ways because they see that it can be done through the power of God working through the heart of a faithful individual. So it's a good thing when the world loses their confidence in their pagan's way. They recognize that the work came from God. This whole building process, Nehemiah had relied upon God. He had to do some work, but God and the people did some work, but God was working with them as they went through this. They faced some threats and adversities. Okay? They faced some challenges. But did they give up? No, they could have given up. They could have said, hey, when Tobiah and those guys were accusing them, slandering them, they could have given up. When there was a threat of actual physical violence, they could have given up and said, this is too hard. But no, they kept on going. That's faith. Again, going back to what I said, that's the faith translating it into actions. They didn't let that get them down. They continued on. How could they do that? Because they had a vision of where they were going. And it requires that vision. You have to have faith in something. That's why the world uses faith. It's so nebulous. Okay? What is your faith in? Nehemiah's faith was in what we read there in chapter 1, that if he returned to God, God would restore the physical nation of Israel. When you say we have faith, what is your faith? Faith that, this you can make it here every Sunday? faith that, what is your faith? No, your faith should be that you can overcome sin. Your faith should be that you can actually become like Christ. That you can actually start practicing righteousness. You have to have a vision of where I'm driving now. You have to have a vision of where you're going. If you don't know where you're going, you're not going to get there. Huh? You have to have a faith in what you can do in the local body, how you can serve, what part of this body you can help at. We have to have that vision if we want to get there. If you do not have a picture of where you're going, you're going to be very hard about. You're going to have a hard time taking and putting it into actions. Okay. At one point, the rubber has to meet the road. I have to start doing. You can't say you have faith and not be doing anything. That's what James was saying. So how are you and how am I going to actually translate our vision of faith, our picture of faith, and put it into practice in our daily lives? All of us need to contemplate that. Because if it's not turning into practice in our daily lives, again, there's no faith, there's no action. Well, there's definitely going to be no results. It all kind of works together. Nehemiah's, their faith translated into rebuilding a wall. Our faith should translate into building up the local body and also getting the Word of God into us personally and overcoming sin and starting to practice righteousness, believing that that can be done. God worked with the nation, with Nehemiah and the people to rebuild the walls. And that became a witness to those around them. It caused them to lose confidence. Hopefully lose confidence in where they were at and gain confidence that yes, the nation, the God of the Israelites he is real. And that's why it has to translate into action around you. Whether or not it's fair, whether or not it's right, wrong, or whatever, your How your faith translates into actions in your life, your personal life, will indicate how well you are at reflecting Christ to others. Why? Because they're going to judge you. They're going to look at you. If you're trying to win somebody to Christ and you're not acting like Christ, good luck for that. It's not going to work. Okay? They're going to say, hey, if I'm hanging out at the bars or acting immorally or whatever we want to plug in there, and I'm trying to win someone to Christ, they go, he says a good talk, but it doesn't work in his life. Why would it work in mine? You know, if he's honest, he's not going to do it. If he wants to just try to cover it up like me, then he'll say, yeah, sure, I'll become a Christian, get immersed, and then just do the same thing I'm doing. Again, if it doesn't translate into actions, then the nations around us aren't going to lose confidence in our pagan ways. They aren't going to be convicted that what they're doing is wrong. Right? So that's why, it really, even on a personal level, you can say, my sin doesn't hurt anybody. Hey, your sin might hurt your coworker who's sitting there watching you sin, but yet you're espousing that you're a Christian. It might. It might cause that person to go to hell. Okay? Something definitely for us all to think about. Okay, these are tough. That's where the rubber really meets the road. We have to be putting this into practice in our everyday life. Does the world see Christ in you? Okay, are they convicted by your actions, or do you look just like the world? Okay, this isn't the only metric that you can have in your spiritual walk, but it sure is a decent one. through the Spirit, most all of those are outward actions. So are those outward actions coming out of our lives? There are no closet Christians. A closet Christian is not really a Christian. Like I say, like it or not, people will build their faith or their lack of faith depending upon what they see in you. Jump to John chapter 4. Verses 39 through 42. This is the tail end of Jesus talking to the woman at the well. He says, from that city, many of the Samaritans believed in him, Jesus, because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all the things I've done. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay with him, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his word. They were saying to the woman, it's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world. This woman, when she comes back from the well, she starts telling everybody about Jesus. So it definitely made an impact. You know, she had changed. You know, this woman, and, you know, if you look at the context of her life, it was kind of messed up. You know, she had 5 husbands. Exactly how that played out, I don't know. But these people, first of all, they believed because of the woman, because of what she said. And I'm betting that she was changed in action, too. It doesn't specifically say that there, but I think she'd be hard-pressed not to. Okay, they believed in her first. Eventually, they built their own faith. And that's what people have to do. Eventually, when you work with someone, you want their faith to become their own. But when it starts out, they're going to look at you as an example. And they're going to basically say, okay, you know, what's Jared doing? What's Robert doing? What's Gary doing? What's Luke doing? Kevin? Whoever. They're going to look at you and say, you're an example of Christ to them, to the world. We're ambassadors for Jesus Christ. What does an ambassador do? Represents. Okay, so we have to be representing Jesus to the world around us. The world needs to see that you are different. They need to see it in practice in your daily life. When they do, they'll be rattled. You know, one of two ways. Are they going to want it, or are they going to hate you for it? Either way, it's good. You've convicted them of where they are at. Some people will say, what about those who haven't heard? I think a lot more people hear or get the opportunity to hear than realize it, you know. We were at a Denny's about a week and a half ago, and there was a gal there, and we had a spiritual conversation with her, and, you know, she has Sam's number. Okay, that gal had the opportunity to hear the gospel, whether or not she takes Sam up on that, you know. So when they say, oh, well, I've never heard the gospel, they might have had the opportunity. They might have, you know, ran into Mike W. at a coffee shop. He might have said something. I mean, somebody might say, oh, I've never, you know, just because they rejected that opportunity isn't going to get them off the hook. That's kind of a side note there. I'm saying, we are Christ to the world, okay? And we are shining in the world. The world needs to see that in you and me, whether we're at work, at a coffee shop, at home, or wherever. It needs to translate into action. So those around, the pagan nations around Nehemiah and those working on the walls, they lost that confidence. That would be because they did not want to see it get done. They were convicted by the work that had been done. God has always, His chosen people have always been a beacon of righteousness in the world around them. Someone has to be. If you look at Noah, you know, what does it describe Noah as? You think about that guy, it's like, man, that would have been tough. You know, he was a preacher of righteousness. Did Noah get up and go on the mountain and preach against him? I don't know. They don't record that. But he did, but we do see a man who walked by faith for at least 100 years. It was his actions. He kept building the boat. Wood after wood, nail after nail, putting it together. His actions. I think his actions convicted them that they're wrong. He says, hey, God's going to judge this. I'm getting ready. I would imagine he told people what's coming. They just didn't listen. He convicted them by his actions. Okay, it's always been that way. God has always had, throughout the Old Testament, the prophets. They spoke all the time to the nation of Israel, those who were lost in their sin of worshiping the Baal and the Asherah. Jesus, he convicted the world of sin around him. You know, that's why they wanted to kill him, because he was an example of what they weren't. Okay? That's what God has always had, the faithful convicting the world of their sin. Jump to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 15 through 17. Talking about us, talking about the church. We're a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved, among those who are perishing. To the one an aroma from death to death, to the other an aroma from life to life. Who's advocate for these things? We are not like many peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity, as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God. We're an aroma. We're an example of life or death. People that are in death and choose to stay in death, we're going to remind them they're in death. They're going to be convicted of their ways. Again, that's only going to happen if we're practicing life, if we're walking in the truth. Okay? Those who are in the truth are going to love it. You know, I've been to various places, even like when I was back in Michigan for a week. I wasn't, you know, in Battle Creek with the Saints there. I was in Ann Arbor, but I miss being here. Okay, it wears on you, again. Because I like the life that is here in you guys, the light, the word of the truth. I like that. So we are that aroma. When the work is getting done, we're going to be a visible reminder that God is alive. This church here, this assembly here at 48th, we're a great light of Christ to Billings around us. God's looking for the faithful. And He's looking for the faithful who are actively doing the work. It's going to cause a reaction in the world. They're going to love it or hate it, like I was saying earlier. The hope is that people want to be a part of the work. Some will and some won't. But that really isn't our problem. Like I said, Nehemiah wasn't really... He never got derailed worrying about those that didn't want the work. He just kept on doing the work. Those that didn't want to get the walls, he was aware of them, but he never let that derail him. Why? He just focused on doing the work. Doing the work, doing the work. That's how you get the wall built, brick by brick at a time. There are going to be those who just want to just derail us. You know, we've had some of those, you know, show up. You know, sometimes few you've studied with them. The most notable one was was Pastor Hall. He came in and, you know, wanted to have a conversation with Luke in front of everybody. You know, he ended up, you know, he was the one who looked pretty bad because he had no answers for the questions that were asked. But again, that's not our problem. We can run around, focus on, you know, I'm not saying abortion's a good thing, but we can focus on that. But really, that's not the goal. Our goal is to save souls. If you save all the souls, is anybody going to have an abortion? No. We could go and, there's lots of different things that we could do. We could go and, you know, try to duke it out with Faith Chapel, but it's not really going to do any good. Those guys are just trying to get you off track. The best track is to go, find somebody, and get the Word of God into their brain, into their heart, ultimately. That's really what our job is. If we do that, people will take note. They will see the work that we are doing. We're not doing it to be noticed. But if you're being noticed the adversarial forces out there have a problem with it, hey, it might be an indication you're doing something right. Because you're going to ruffle feathers is what it comes down to. The truth will do that. The first century church had this. If you read there in Acts chapter 2, you know, they have a pattern of growth and persecution. Growth and persecution. Growth because, hey, people take notice of what they're doing and they bring in persecution. It's not necessarily a bad thing because persecution shows, it's a chance to really show they believed in what they were doing. Free publicity, in one sense, really helps the gospel to grow. Well, let's close with Zechariah chapter 4. We're going to read verses 8 through 10. That is not what I wanted. Yes, that is what I wanted. Sorry. I should actually go to verse 8. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "The hand of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands will finish it. Then you know that the Lord of hosts sent me to you. For we have despised the days of small things. But the seven will be glad when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These are the eyes of the Lord which range to and fro throughout the earth." I like that. Who has despised the day of small things? The wall of Jerusalem started out small, brick by brick by brick. Work starts out small. How does it start? One soul at a time. I mean, don't despise those things. A lot of times, what keeps the spiritual revolution from really going is our lack of faith. Not in faith in the body, or it's really lack in faith of us as an individual. How can I make a difference? Well, if you don't try to make a difference, you will never make a difference. Okay, we have to put forth some effort. You got to try. I was kind of talking with my mom, and we were talking about, I see with young people when they get out trying to figure out, it's a tough call. What do you want to do for the rest of your life? Figure that out in a month or so. I took quite a windy path to get where I am now. I was joking. I just kept trying different things. I had quite a few different jobs, as a young person, and I even had different, ways to make money. But anyhow, you got to try. Try things. We have God behind us. I didn't have God behind me. I was just goofing off. So, we have God behind us. God is for you. Who can be against you? But you have to try. We have to try. Okay? If Nehemiah never would have tried to build the wall, would have gotten rebuilt. No. He had to step up and put forth some effort. He cared about that wall being rebuilt. He wanted to see Jerusalem restored. That motivated him to action. Convicted him that, hey, somebody had to do it. You might say, well, how could I ever do that? Try. That's how. if you don't know how to do it, grab somebody who does. We have amazingly capable individuals here, both teachers, leaders. If you've ever Sunday school, if you want to do that, the gals are great at that. I mean, whatever it may be, the best. But if you don't try, it will never happen. It was very exciting for Nehemiah to see the wall rebuilt. Very cool. It had to be quite an exciting time to see all that work done. But it was basically the payoff of all their hard work. That's what we have to do. We have to try. It never would have happened if they wouldn't try. It's going to take work. Becoming a new creation takes work. I've studied with people. Oh, how will I ever grow? I always encourage people I studied with, don't look at yesterday for growth. Look at the last month, year, few years. Like I say, that's what I've always encouraged, Nikki and even Dave. They're great at doing that. You look at where they've come. All out of you guys, look at where you've come over a year, 2 years, whatever. You will see the growth if you've been putting forth the work. This assembly, I remember I came up and visited once with a buddy of mine, or a guy I was working with, and it was when you guys were assembling in Luke's basement. Did you guys ever see, is this where you saw it coming? Maybe, yes, maybe no. But you know what? How did it happen? It didn't just boom one day, you go from Luke's basement to this nice building all put together with all these people. It took time. It took consistent work, brick after brick, soul after soul. And then you get to start to see, hey, the wall's coming together. You get excited. Well, guys, I'll tell you, the wall ain't rebuilt done yet. We're still building these walls around Jerusalem, around Mount Zion, brick by brick, stone by stone. We got a lot of work to do, but it's been going great. Hey, let's keep at it. Let's really keep rebuilding those walls. Someday we'll all sit around in heaven and we will see that wall restored. And what it will be all you living stones and hopefully a lot more. Thanks.